If you're looking for high-quality nutritional supplements, please check out needtobuildmuscle.com. This is your Evolutionary Radio host, Trevor Kuritz, and as always, my co-host, Steve Smee, is joining me.
Hey, good evening, guys. We have another really awesome guest. We're bringing some big names your way on our podcast. We have PJ Braun on. So, PJ, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. We like to start the show off, first of all, a lot of our listeners might be new to bodybuilding. I know you're a CEO of Blackstone Labs. You run that company. Tell us a little bit more about you and your background for those members who really haven't heard of you before.
Sure. Thank you, for starters. Thanks for having me on, guys. I will give you a fast cliff notes because it's quite a list of interesting things that I've done over the past few years. So I was a national level bodybuilder. I didn't make a pro card. I made a few runs at it, but I had told my parents when I was in college that if I was not either top five or right outside the top five in the world, that I would take the time that I was investing into bodybuilding and put it into a business. So my final show was USA's, and that was July 24th of 2012, and then September 1st, is when I launched Blackstone Labs. So only about 5 weeks downtime after USA's, I knew I was gonna be done. And I started that company in a spare bedroom. First 10 months of business were run out of that bedroom by myself. I was doing everything from processing the orders, making the social media posts, contacting stores, you name it, I was doing it. We did about $200,000 of sales year one. Year two, we did $1.2 million. Year three, we did $9.8 million. Year four, we did $20 million, and we became the 27th fastest growing company in the United States in 2016. Inc. 500 company, which was a pretty cool achievement. I've been reading that magazine for years. Now, we are in some struggles with the FDA, trying to get some cool products back. Like DMAA, that's been taken away from us for a little while. There's not too many companies that are going to make a stand against the FDA the way that we will. My partner, Jarrett Wheat, owns High Tech Pharmaceuticals, and he's quite the crusader when it comes to nutraceutical products. And outside of that, I'm still a bodybuilding fan. I love to train. I love nutrition. I went to school for exercise physiology. I went to UConn. And I've been passionate about weight training and bodybuilding and nutrition since I was a little kid. I started working out when I was 12 years old. And I still work out pretty hard now. So
what are your stats, age, where are you living now? What part of the country?
I am 37 years old. I live in Boca Raton, Florida. Been here since 2012. I am 5'11", about 240 pounds, pretty lean. Certainly not contest level lean.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys can check out his Instagram page, he does have pictures. He's a pretty jacked guy. So you live down the road from me. I'm in West Palm. So when I jump on 95, I'm headed your way right now. And we're going to do this live. In person. So PJ, tell us a little bit about the DMAA thing. How's that progressing? Because I haven't heard much about it in a while. Is there any hope of it coming back or not?
Well, my partner Jared has been fighting for 2 years for this. So he has spent a lot of money in this fight, but rightfully so, he's lost a lot of money too. So as far as what's going to happen, every single person has counted us out. With exception of Jared. Jared believes that we're going to win. So I'm praying that we do win because we lost a lot of revenue when we lost this product. So our two top-selling products were DMAA products. If we do get it back, it'd be pretty fast. The ruling is on August 18th. And so on August 18th, we're going to know one way or another, either we're going to get DMAA back or it will be literally gone forever no matter what.
That's only 9 days away. So we'll have our fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, thank you.
PJ, one question I have for you is DMAA versus DMHA. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of people, they think that DMHA is the same thing. Obviously, it's not. Talk to our listeners, say the difference between these two ingredients.
Well, I mean, chemically, they're actually quite different. So 2-amino, which is being very, very commonly used now, you'll hear people throw that term around, is considered the next best thing. I think that a lot of people from a marketing standpoint are wanting to push DMHA because they know there's really nothing else good out there. We actually do have a DMHA in a product now, a product called Dust X. Our flagship product was the Dust Extreme, was the DMAA product, which is your 1,3-dimethylamine. And they're considerably different because you're not going to get the same euphoric focus type of stim blast from the DMHA. DMHA is a true thermogenic for sure, but you're not going to get that. I hate to say Adderall-like, but that's what everybody says about DMAA. It's a much different feeling. It's like the happy Adderall, people call it. You know, it's euphoric, and we all would love to find something that's comparable to it, but there just isn't.
So I'll give our listeners just kind of like a chemistry example here. So although DMAA and DMHA have similar chemical names, it would almost be like comparing trenbolone to Deca.
Yeah,
completely. Both are nandrolones, but obviously trenbolone is way stronger than Deca, even though they're both nandrolones. So what PJ is saying is 100% correct, is that even though their chemical names might be similar, it's like comparing apples to oranges. They're completely different things.
Much different.
So what happens if, unfortunately, August 18th, you lose the lawsuit?
Well, we'd be in the same boat we're in now. You know, so I've kind of counted that product out personally. It's been a while. We put it out, and they took it away from us. And then we put some back out again, and then they came in and just took everything. And I have been under the impression that we're not going to get it back until the last meeting that I had with Jared. He was so confident based on, I guess their last defense versus the prosecution and the arguments that they made. He felt really good about it. I think we're obviously major underdogs here.
If you do get it back, would you then hold the patent to the ingredient, or would anyone be able to use it?
No, anybody would be able to use it, which is frustrating. And I'm sure it's most frustrating for Jared. However, there will be a lot to be said about the companies that have been actively fighting for it and being first to market in the fight. Of course, there'll be other people that are putting it out as well, but we'll find a way. One thing that separates Blackstone Labs, even from my partner High Tech and other companies, is we just know how to spend marketing in a more aggressive way than everybody else.
You'd almost be doing like a service for the community by bringing it back.
Basically, and we would make sure to cram that down everybody's throats in the way we market it too. So
PJ, talk to us a little bit about Blackstone Labs. I know you're the CEO. What exactly is your role in the company? Do you do product formulations? Do you just directly deal with consumers, the wholesalers? What exactly do you do at Blackstone Labs on a daily basis?
My role has changed quite a bit over the years. So in the very beginning, I literally did it all. I did everything from formulations to shipping the products in the beginning. And as we expanded and as the company expanded, my role shifted into different areas that need to be more. Now, I would say that my primary focus right now is marketing and spreading the word on the brand. So I guess the best way to put it, where people would understand it more, is I'm the president. I'm the Donald Trump. So I'm going everywhere, making my speeches, shaking hands, kissing babies. But I have a very, very good team around me that's doing all the dirty work behind the scenes that perhaps they're not getting credit for. But it's no different than, you know, any top presidential candidate's going to have his team of advisors around him doing all that stuff as well.
So PJ, you're one of the most requested guests we've had to get on the show. A lot of the people want to know you and Aaron Singerman. What all happened? It seemed like you guys were the best of buddies, and then all of a sudden just something happened. You guys became worse enemies.
Yeah, I mean, we were best friends. We were like brothers, you know. I loved him very much, and we did everything together. My mom used to joke around that people thought that we were gay, and my mom would say, hey, listen, you know, if you guys are ever going to come out, you know, we'll still support you the same way. And we were really inseparable. Eventually, we took on we've had different partners over the years, but we took on an investor at one point. And this particular investor had a goal of selling the company in a couple of years. And so when he invested in, he went through the books pretty closely, and Aaron was running the books back then. And when he went into the books, he saw there was, I don't want to even say funny business, because it was more than funny business. There was just a lot of misappropriated funds and things that didn't add up. So after a further investigation, we found out that he was skimming many, 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 many thousands of dollars from the company. So I have to kind of be careful of what I say and how I say it, because we've had numerous lawsuits over this over the years. And you know, fact of the matter is I have no problem saying my part because I'm not the one that was stealing, you know? So he essentially robbed his best friend, and took advantage of my trust because I never thought to even look in the books. So when our partner came in and he had a stack in one hand, of just paper after paper after paper filled with expenses. And then he had one piece of paper in the other hand, looked at me and said, "These are your expenses." And he said, "It's mostly gas. You have the cleanest company account and card I've ever seen." He's like, "I've been doing this for a while. This is probably my 30th company that I've invested into." He goes, "Aaron, these are yours." And he started pulling things out, TVs, vacations, cars, I mean, all kinds of stuff that my mind was so blown. You know, I was shocked. And he was super embarrassed. He didn't really know what to say. He tried to get out of it. And then his response to me when he saw how hurt I was, "Well, I thought you were doing the same thing." And I said, "Really? Because you've never discussed any of this with me ever." So he was ordered to put a large amount back, which he did. But there was still, we only went back 6 months, and who knows what was really missing over time, because there was 3 years of business before Joe, the other partner, even got involved. So at that point, the other partner wanted to press charges against him and get rid of him, and I wouldn't do it. I said, I'll never be able to trust him ever again. But, you know, his wife is like my sister, and he was like my brother. I can't press charges against him. I'd rather just make him leave. And so eventually, what we wound up doing was myself and the other guy, we merged our shares together and we forced him out of his management position. So I was 50% manager and so was he. And I used my shares and the other gentleman's shares together to basically say, you're not allowed in the building anymore. And you're still going to have your shares in the company. Then he tried to put up a big fight against that. So to soften the blow, I made what I would say is probably a really, really bad decision. But at the time, I was more focused on Blackstone Labs, the company that I started anyway. And I gave up my shares of Run Everything Labs, of Dynamic Muscle, and anything else that we had going on together. So I sacrificed a lot of money for him to just go away quietly. So I don't want to say that I regret it, because I'm the only managing member of Blackstone Labs, which is the way it should be. But I did give up a lot of money.
That's got to be tough, man. I couldn't even imagine mentally how hard that would be, you know, having your best friend betray you.
Yeah, you know, it's like the only thing I can really compare it to, it's like if you find out that your wife cheated on you. You know, it's one of those things, maybe some guys can get past it. I wouldn't be able to. I couldn't get past it.
It's kind of like when you're five and you find out Santa Claus isn't real. it's like that. It's a pretty big lunch bag letdown.
Steve, so I mean, do you think, PJ, it was just pure money related, or is there like a jealousy aspect, or maybe an unfairness? Maybe he thought things were unfair on his end, or was it a greed issue? What do you think?
I think it was mostly greed. I think, to be honest with you, it was mostly greed. I do think there was a jealousy, a jealousy issue as well. It got to a point where he had said, We were traveling somewhere together, and I could tell things were starting to go this way for a while. And we were going through security in the airport, and he was behind me, and I went through security, and he was wearing a Blackstone Labs shirt, so was I. And as he went through the security, the guy goes, do you see who that is over there? Your shirt, you're wearing a Blackstone Labs shirt. That's the president of Blackstone Labs right there. And Aaron was like, I'm also the president of Blackstone Labs, like got real, real angry at the guy. And we got on the airplane, and it was like something out of a movie. You couldn't even make this up. We got on the airplane, and the flight attendant comes over, and he's like, oh my God, PJ, I had heard that you were on this flight. You know, somebody had noticed you, mentioned something to me. I love your products. He was using a Super Trend at the time. He's like, I'm a really big fan. And he's like, I know you're getting married. I wanted to give you a gift. He gave me a bottle of champagne on the plane, which is hilarious. I didn't even know what to do with it. And Aaron was just sitting there shaking his head. And when we landed, he was like, must be nice to be you, huh? You're the star. And I said, what does that mean? And he's like, well, you think I don't want to like get stopped when we go places, and I don't want to get the stuff that you get? And I said, honestly, I never really thought anything of this. You know, it kind of seems like it made sense for this to go this way. One of us was a bodybuilder. The other one wasn't. We started a bodybuilding hardcore supplement company. How else would it have gone? You know, a lot of people that are in our position that formulate products, they hire some bodybuilder to represent the brand. We don't do that. I'm the guy. This was going to happen regardless. And he was like, it's just not fair. It's not fair. We're equal partners, but you get all the credit. Now, I will tell you that Aaron Singerman is a very, very, very smart guy. And he's a good businessman. Well, he's a successful businessman. He's a shrewd businessman. But he makes things happen. He definitely makes things happen. And he was a very hard worker. He just had jealousy and ego issues, you know, and the greed got the best of him. Some people really, really get changed. I've seen it a lot in this industry. I've been in this industry competing for many, many, many years. And I've seen different companies come and go. I've seen the way they operate. I've seen typically the way that your common CEO's mentality is. There's a lot of arrogance. I mean, without wanting to pat myself on the back, I don't see any other CEOs that sit in the booths all day the way that I do. You know, it's sad to me what happened to Aaron, because he was a really, really cool guy. He was an awesome guy to be around, but he kind of grew to the point where perhaps he felt that he was better than everything. And I think that was his downfall.
Is there something that you think could have been different to prevent the mess from occurring? Because a lot of people, like me and Trevor, we've been doing this podcast a while. And I mean, I can't imagine just turning on Trevor one day and being like, you know, getting upset because Trevor is getting paid more or something. Maybe it would upset me. I don't know. But like, is there something you could have done maybe to kind of prevent that from getting to that point?
Without being arrogant, I would say no. I mean, I think that I did everything that I could on my end. I think that we got to a point where we had very, very different visions, and we had very, very different styles of running the business, and it caused a lot of conflict. You know, Aaron was more of a tyrant, and I was kind of everybody's friend, which I'm not saying that my way is the right way either, because I get taken advantage of a lot, and I do think that there has to be a fine line between, you know, this is my boss and this is my friend. And that's definitely a mistake that I make a lot. But we both worked very hard. I worked very hard. And Aaron would tell people to do the same thing. You know, I was relentless with the way that I was cranking out and formulating products, you know, and I was somebody that used products myself, you know, for 20 years. So I was constantly guinea pigging things on myself and wanting to put new stuff out. I never wanted to settle for, you know, let's just make money on these new products. What else can we put out? You know, what else would I want to use? So I know that we both brought a lot of strengths to the table. And I don't know that the people that are working for him enjoy working for him. Because I know that when he left, we gave a speech to the staff. There's 40 people in the building, and we wanted to make it seem like we weren't warring with each other. And so Aaron said, you know, I'm going to go and do some different things. You know, PG is really focused on Blackstone. I have other things that I want to accomplish. And if there's anybody that wants to come with me, you can come with me now. We're going to go and start some new things. And if there's anybody that just wants to stay with PG, then, you know, by all means, stay with PG. And everyone in the room was dead silent. And he had his personal assistant that was ready to go with him. And outside of that, nobody went. They all stayed where they were. And in fact, one of the guys who's very quiet, which makes it funnier if he knew his personality, he goes, can we go back to work now? And I said, yeah, you guys can go back to work. And that was his last moment at Blackstone Lines.
That's pretty funny. It's true though. Like, you really got to enjoy what you do for a living, because the majority of your waking hours are spent working. So, I mean, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, what's the point of it?
Absolutely.
So my next question for you is the whole Prime Nutrition scandal where John Meadows IntraMD didn't end up containing label claims. Were you involved in that? Like, give us your side of the story.
I wasn't. And actually, in those emails we posted on our end, we posted emails that showed that I had nothing to do with it. I was not even CC'd on the emails. So what happened was, and me and John are actually cool now. So what happened was, the product that Meadows wanted to put out, I don't know if he formulated it. I think somebody else might have formulated it for him. Was it Dr. Scott Connolly? Somebody formulated it for him anyway. And
Dr. Serrano.
Okay. So the product, whoever formulated it, it was just extremely expensive. And the formula was so expensive that manufacturing was, there's no point in putting the product out. You're never going to be able to make a margin on it. It's just too expensive. So Aaron went back to Meadows and said, the product's just too expensive. We can't sell this. And Meadows really wanted to put the product out. And he was like, well, you said that we could formulate products behind my name, and this is what I want to do. And so basically, I think what happened in a nutshell is one of the more expensive ingredients, I believe, was, well, highly branded sacred dextrin is expensive anyway. I actually am not a fan of that ingredient, but that was the big carb source that they wanted to use. So the Tea Cream dose, I believe, was just pumping a few more dollars in there that really didn't need to be there. By the way, Tea Cream is shit. I'm sorry for all you people that think that it does anything. It does nothing. And so that ingredient was making it far more expensive than it needed to be. So Aaron had said, listen, we can pull the Tea Cream out. Nobody's going to know anything because you don't feel anything from Tea Cream anyway. It'll say it on the label. And then there you go. It saves us a few dollars and we can create a margin on this. And I guess that Meadows said it was okay in the email. So they put the product out. And again, I was not on these emails. I did not know about it. I was not interested in Prime Nutrition at all. Last One Labs was always my baby. I'm the one who started the company. And Prime Nutrition was supposed to be the girl version of Blackstone Labs. That was the vision for it. We're going to market it the same way as Blackstone, just with a bunch of females instead of men. And it didn't go that way. It started out that way the first few months, and it took a very hard turn in the wrong direction. And that's when I lost interest. So those guys had their own thing going on. And I guess somebody tested it and showed that it didn't test right. And what happened after was John Meadows, his conscience, I think, got to him and he didn't feel comfortable keeping that secret. So he put it out there. And so then at this point, you know, Aaron looks like a guy that's like spiking products. We're not, you know, meeting label claims on products just to make money. And it was all coming at Blackstone Labs because Prime Nutrition is such a small company. And so they see Aaron Sermon, they see PG Braun, they're thinking Blackstone Labs, not thinking Prime Nutrition. That product had nothing to do with Blackstone Labs. Our products are always exactly what the labels say that they are. Our products are always strong and work good. So when that started giving us a lot of negative attention, I got very mad and I challenged both of those guys. And I took all the emails, we went into the emails and took all the emails that did not have my name on them and just posted all the emails of here's them basically agreeing to do this behind the scenes. And it was a big deal because, you know, people took it as me going after John Meadows. It really wasn't. I was just exposing them for what they did. And I was showing my side, which was no involvement. And in time, John Meadows actually came out and said that, you know, he really didn't have any dealings with me. He was dealing with Aaron the whole time, which is the truth. And he actually said something funny, I think, on somebody showed me, it was on like Adam McVay's stupid page or something, where he said, you know, PJ Braun, at least he tells me that he hates me. He's like, Aaron, it's all behind my back. And I was like, well, that is true. I certainly don't hide anything. And eventually, he had found out about Aaron, what Aaron had done to me. And I think he had gone through some more negative stuff with Aaron as well. And he actually sent me a text message. And he was like, man, I never knew the story of what happened, you know, with you and Aaron. I'm really sorry. And I said, wow, I appreciate you taking the time to message me that, considering what had happened with us in the past. It means a lot to me. Shows a lot about your character. And then at the end, I said, who knows, maybe we'll get a little training session and I'll do some mountain dog style training. We'll get it on video. And he was like, that would be great. And that was it. You know, that was our quick little talk. But I think from there, we both kind of agreed that we had no bad blood with each other. We both had really bad experiences with Aaron Sermon.
Honestly, PJ, if someone came up to me and told me straight to my face, I hate your guts, I would respect that person because that takes a lot of balls. Like anyone behind a keyboard can be, you know, the biggest troll and the biggest dick because that's anonymous. But to actually go up to someone and tell them like to their face, I hate you, or to tell them with their real name, like no screen names, no big arms 61 on some message board, like your actual real name, that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to tell anybody anything, whether it's positive or negative anytime. You know, it's this world has become, you know, captive to their computers and the personas that they want to play behind their computer screen. But it's all really silly to me, because in real life, you're going to get into a scenario where all of a sudden somebody that you were talking shit to actually meets you in real life. And then it's up to you to handle it one way or another. So I'm going to always say what I feel, whether I'm on the computer or whether I'm in real life. Like, I'm not really one to, I like to look at myself as the person that ends the fights, not the starts them, you know? So I don't have time to sit on a computer calling people out. You know, I have much more important busy things to do. I've got, in my building, we're down to 36 employees from the 40 that we once had. We've got 36 really, really good employees that need to get their checks paid on time and need to, you know, have things rolling the right way. I don't have time to mess around with people on the computer.
Do you think, PJ, that these social media wars that we see all the time from supplement owners of companies and, you know, competitors and even guys on YouTube who kind of get into these spats, is a lot of that just marketing? Or yes. do you think that it's really like deep core, like I'm insulted type of thing?
A lot of it is marketing. I do think there are a lot of very fragile egos in the fitness world, for sure. But I do think a lot of it is played up for marketing, especially the guys that are smarter with the way they do things. I mean, we have things happen all the time where I'll literally tell my marketing guys, I'll be like, watch this. And most of the time they cringe like, oh God, what's he gonna do? But there's usually a plan in place of what I'm doing or what I'm saying, who I'm saying it to, before we ever actually go out and even do it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Tell us about Blackstone Labs now. How is it doing?
I mean, the company is doing solid. We lost a lot of revenue with the DMAA. So we have spent, you know, all of this year and the second part of last year getting back to where we were. So when we were doing DMAA sales, I mean, we were doing $2 million a month in sales. And we lost about close to 50% of our revenue that year. Now, this year, we've slowly been climbing our way out of it. And really, it's been a combination of international business, getting the brand out into different countries, which is going to be a smaller margin. But, you know, we're now easier to find, I suppose, is the way to put it. We're spending a lot more time expanding internationally. I've quite a bit of travel coming up. And we've just been really staying on top of the products that we do have that we believe in, educating them the right way. We're trying to put out products that we don't think will get taken away from us. We have a product right now called Recomp RX that I love. I think it's a brilliant product. Jared found this ingredient, the eucinic acid, which creates new satellite cells. So it's basically like a hormone-free IGF-1 product. And we all tested ourselves while we're on it, and everyone had elevated IGF-1. And I think it's the best product we've ever put out. So I don't see why that the FDA would take that one away. Hi guys, by the way, I'm sure you're probably listening to everything that I do. Please don't take that one away. Cause it's completely safe. There's no bad literature on it, but, you never know. I mean, in this industry, when I first started, Aaron and I, this one thing we agreed on, we had the same plan. We both felt that you have about 5 years to make it in this industry. And then after that, either you're going to sputter and crash and burn, or you'll find a way to just plug along. It's going to be tough, but really the guys that have cashed out, they cashed out early. So we had a 5-year plan of cashing out, and we actually had a really big investment bank come in and look at us in year 4. And the number was big, but it wasn't enough for me to just quit something that I loved. It just wasn't something that I felt that I could never work ever again on. And so I kind of ruined that deal for the other guys. But right after that, we got rated by the FDA. So on one hand, I could say maybe I should have taken that deal. I'd be in a much better spot right now.
So this investment banker came to you and was like, I'm going to offer you this much to buy out your company. And
they wanted 50% of the company. They wanted to vertically integrate it with a manufacturing company that they own. And they wanted to do an 18-month plan of building revenue up on both sides and then cashing out, you know, in one big sale. So we were going to still run the company during that period. And there was a number of numbers we're going to hit. They were going to give us some money up front, you know, so we could have chips taken off the table, of course. But in the end, the number that it was, it just, yeah, it's a good number, but it wasn't something that, like, when
I started, what was the number, PJ? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Tell us, because you mentioned international, I'm curious, what countries are buying the supplements and what are you selling to those companies? Are these guys in China? Are these guys like in Europe?
We're working on China right now. It's a very interesting market. You know, that economy is huge.
So what are they buying over there?
Right now, from what I understand, the most popular ingredient or products out there is amino acids, branched chain amino acids. So we are not even there yet. From what I hear, Almax is doing a lot of business out there. And so that tells me that we can absolutely be doing business out there as well. If I ever hear that any of my competitors are kicking butt somewhere, it just tells me that I'm not doing a good enough job in that area. So we do really, really well in Australia. We do a lot of business in Australia.
Is our customs tough, though, to get stuff in?
Everyone's customs is tough. Ours is probably
the weird thing about China, and the reason Almax is selling so well in China, is that in China, for whatever reason, they deem Canadian supplements as being the highest quality.
Really?
So because Almax is manufactured in Toronto, that's why they want Almax.
I didn't know that.
So my dad, he's married to a Japanese woman, and they know a woman who is making, I'm talking seven-figure incomes, just going to Costco's here in Canada, buying Canadian supplements, freighting them to China, and then selling them.
Wow, amazing.
I don't know what it is about Canada, but people in China love Canada.
Interesting.
You tell someone in China you're a Canadian, you're almost like a celebrity.
That's really funny. Maybe we'll have to open up some manufacturing up there. Canada is very difficult to move products in. So we don't really have much of a presence in Canada because the customs in Canada is extremely strict. The rules are strict. A number of our ingredients are banned in Canada, so we have to change things around with formulas, which we don't mind changing our formulas. So we have a lot of custom formulas for different parts of the world. My Australian dust is different than my US dust, and we have a UK dust also. So what some companies do is they'll make a really watered-down version of a product that's going to be safe everywhere. We don't do that. We try to make the products as strong as we can for each region. So if we find out, okay, maybe this is not legal here, but here it is, let's make this stronger for this place. So at least people know we are still the hardcore brand wherever we go.
So before we get into it, a user question that I have, I'm curious if you could tell us, PJ, what are the normal Joes, like in Florida or in the United States, domestically, what are they buying? What are their go-to supplements that they're using?
Well, I think any supplement company is going to be pushing their pre-workouts no matter what. Everybody wants to get more jacked up before they train. That's an easy sell. For us, our bread and butter products are our pro-hormones. We've always been a pro-hormone brand. So we have DHEA-based pro-hormones. We have Chosen One, Brutal Force, Abnormal, Methaquad, four really, really strong products that a lot of people want the quote-unquote steroid-like products, and we've never shied away from marketing that kind of stuff. And so that's our bread and butter, and we move quite a bit of those products. I would say that we're the biggest brand as far as moving pro hormone type products that there is.
PJ, being someone who's ran real anabolics, are these products honestly even comparable?
Yes and no. So they're definitely not as good as most anabolic steroids, but they do have their place where they will work really well if you're not taking steroids or even in conjunction with steroids. We have a product called Chosen One, which is essentially methyl 1 testosterone. And if you take that product, it's going to elevate your free testosterone. So if you take that product with testosterone, like an HRT testosterone, you're going to maximize what you're doing that much more. And it doesn't aromatize, so you don't have to worry about gynecomastia or any negative estrogenic side effects. So you're getting a surge of oral testosterone basically from that product. So we have guys that maybe they are scared to go inject themselves, or maybe they're just not ready to go and speak to a doctor about it yet. They look at this as almost like a stepping stone, a bridge, if you will, to getting into that stuff. And you know, we have guys that put on 10, 20 pounds in a cycle or two using these products, and they're far, far safer than all the old, you know, methylated pro hormones that people were taking in the 2005 to 10 era.
So, have you ever had someone run the product and get blood work done?
Yeah, I actually do it myself all the time, but we've had a number of people do that.
And how much did it increase testosterone free?
A lot. The Chosen One and the Brutal Force, those are very, very strong oral testosterone products. They're gonna cause such a surge of testosterone that your natural production is going to shut off, which is not necessarily a good thing, because then you've got to worry about post-cycle therapy afterwards and making sure you're stimulating, you know, luteinizing hormone and FSH and things that...
PJ, now the FDA is going to come after you on that now.
Probably. They got it.
So here's our user question. They want to know, can you ask PJ his opinion of proprietary blends? What does that mean? And does he believe in it or not?
I do. And you should ask the guys who started Coca-Cola about how they feel about proprietary blends. And I'd like to see people bash Coca-Cola for protecting their formula. We actually started putting our formulas out because everybody was like, oh, proprietary blends, you know, you're lying to the consumer. You're really not. You're protecting yourself from being copied. So now that I put my formulas out, there's going to be 30 other versions of my products. And I'm usually the first to market. And there's a bunch of people like Primeval. They copy everything that I do. Redcon, of course, copies everything that I do. Their diuretic is almost the same as mine now that they just put out. And it's just something you have to accept. So if you're not going to do a proprietary blend, you can't protect the hard work that went into your formula. That's my whole issue with that. You know, you're just protecting yourself.
What would you say to someone who would argue, well, you could just send the product to a testing facility and they would tell you all the ingredients in it anyways?
Sure. And if you have a few thousand dollars to do that every time, then by all means do it.
Gotcha. So you're saying for ease of like, so unless you had like a one in a million product that someone really wanted to complicate, really wanted to replicate, it just wouldn't be feasible to try to like copy everyone's products and send them all for testing.
No, because let's take a product like Glycolog, for instance. I disclosed that formula. Gorilla Chemist worked very, very, very hard on that formula, and it was a truly groundbreaking product. There was never even a category for products like that for what is called a glucose disposal agent. Okay, so we disclosed the formula. And so because of that, I tried my hardest, my corporate attorney, Zach, and I, on getting a patent on this formula. And it's next to impossible to patent formulas in the supplement industry because company B can come in and slightly change the milligrams. And unless there's conclusive study on the other milligrams, they can say, well, even though my ingredients are the same, I have 5 milligrams less of this particular ingredient. It's a completely different formula. My formula is better. And if you're not going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, fighting to protect your formula, you're not going to be able to do it.
Now, it's kind of like the Extend BCAs. Yeah. Every company now has a product similar to the Cyvation Extend, but some will add like 500 milligrams of taurine or like 500 milligrams of coconut water powder or whatever. And they say, well, this is our new version.
Yeah. And they'll say that there's better because it has that in it also.
So talk to us a little bit about all the athletes you sponsor on Blackstone Labs. I know you sponsor Fred Biggie Smalls. We've had him on the show. You also sponsor Cody Montgomery. Are you doing that as a marketing standpoint, or are you just doing that because you were so heavily involved in the bodybuilding industry, you just love bodybuilding, you want to get back to the community?
It's a little bit of both. I would say it's probably more because I love bodybuilding than anything else. And I feel sad saying this, but the actual IBB or NPC bodybuilders have become really obsolete as far as what they're going to do for your company nowadays. The consumer is very educated now. And, you know, in my day, all we had was Flex Magazine and Muscular Development. We didn't have podcasts like this. We didn't have, you know, internet websites where you can go and find everything, you know, with a couple quick searches. We just have to learn from what we did in the magazines. So you open up those magazines and there's Ronnie Coleman with some Celtec, then you're going to go buy some Celtec, you know? So now the consumer has figured out, well, that guy's just getting paid by this company. He probably doesn't even take the product. So having bodybuilders behind a brand has really not been what it used to be. And what you're doing now is you're trying to find people whose personalities are appealing enough to the people around them that they want to be involved with what they're doing. So with Cody, you had a young man who was, you know, genetically superior and did an amazing amount very, very fast. So people were really interested in him. And I was very interested in him. So because of that, we sucked him into Blackstone very young and we started building a brand really around him in a way. And it became an organic part of our marketing since day one. We've had this young guy who is now a father and, you know, took some time off to have his child and now he's coming back. And people are really, I think, following him more so because of the person he is than because he's got a good physique. There's too many good physiques now, realistically. So somebody like Fred Smalls, I didn't sign Fred Smalls because I was like, Fred looks good. It's going to sell a lot of my products. I was interested in speaking to Fred Smalls when he wanted to speak to me because I competed with him and I respect the hell out of him as a competitor. He's a very, very good bodybuilder. And he told me that he had a team of quite a few athletes and that he loved the brand and that he wanted to write the products into their programs. And I saw the value there. So what I do now is I put my time into my ambassador program and I'm very interested in teams and coaches that are working with a bunch of people that are going to have an influence on a group of people for sure over a bodybuilder that looks really good. And I'm hoping because he looks good, people are going to listen to what he says about the product.
It seems like that's the way the supplement industry is really turning, is that more and more companies are going direct to consumers. So instead of going on bodybuilding.com and buying Muscle Tech, now people are going direct to Muscle Tech to buy Muscle Tech. it seems like a lot of companies now, instead of just sponsoring an athlete and then, you know, it kind of being a crapshoot if you'll actually get any return from it, are saying, hey, we're going to give you a coupon code that gives your followers 10% off and you get 10% commission, something like that.
Yeah.
We were actually the first brand to do that. And some might argue that Shreds was doing something similar to that. Shreds was a very, very powerful marketing machine. And what we did differently was we were going direct to consumer the same way Shreds was, but we actually went direct to retail. So the way that it worked out was I started Googling supplement stores in New York, for instance, and I'd get a list of numbers and I'd start calling the stores, saying, hi, I'm PJ Braun, president of Blackstone Labs. I have a really cool product called 2DMZ. It's the world's strongest pro hormone. Love to send you one for free, et cetera, et cetera. Get hang up on all the time. And the first person that gave me a chance was Steve Calabrese at Natural Body in New York. By the way, I'm going to be at his block party on Saturday. A little plug if you guys are going to be in the New York area. So that account remembered me from when I was working for Species years ago with Dave Palumbo. And he was like, I remember you. You did an appearance on my store. You're a really nice guy. And we started bullshitting. He said, I'll tell you what, if you give me premium pricing, I want better pricing than anybody else. And I want exclusivity in this area. He's like, I will be your top account by far. No one will touch what I do. And I was like, well, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And he was like, well, what can I get? A deal can I get on 1,000 units? Now at this point, this was already going to be my first ever wholesale account. So the fact that he wanted 1,000 units, in my head, I was like, is this really about to happen right now? Because I was doing orders of anywhere from 1 to 4 bottles at that point. And I would do, you know, 15 to 20 a day. So deal, I gave him a deal and he wound up being invoiced for $30,000. When the payment was complete, I was running around my house, jumping up and down, clapping, screaming, dancing. And that motivated me to just stay on top of the retail, because once other stores started seeing this company is in Natural Body, Natural Body brings in all the big brands. You know, he's got Jay Cutler and Ronnie Coleman hanging out in his store. It must be good. And so then other people started acquiring with us. So we would tell people all the time, I fixed my old pitch because of Steve from Natural Body. So I would call stores and I would tell them my product and I would offer it to them. And they would say, are you in Europa? And I would say no. And sometimes they would say, are you in Lone Star? And I would say no. Most of the time they would hang up. They wouldn't want to talk anymore. You know, for your listeners that don't know, Europa and Lone Star are the large distribution companies that were selling all the products. So you get a catalog from one of those companies and there's 500 brands in there and you're going to pick out the best specials. And that's how you order up stuff for your store. You know, maybe this month Gat is offering, you know, like a buy 4, get 1 free on their pre-workout, you know? And so that's how it works. It's kind of like, in a way, it's like what Amazon is now, I suppose. But back then, these companies would ship everything to you. So I found out from speaking to people that worked for Europa and Lone Star that they were offering about 25% off of wholesale. And if you were a really, really, really preferred account, you get 30 to 35%. So when I would call stores, I would say, listen, here's the deal. I have opted to not be in Europa or Lone Star. And I know you're probably dealing with them and you're getting 25% off wholesale like everybody else. Maybe you're getting 35% of your preferred account. I'll just give you 50% off wholesale if you make the deal today. You'll make a lot more money. And a lot of people like the sound of that. They like the sound of knowing they're going to make a bunch more money. And more people started jumping on because of that. And that's how we built our retail up to where we built it.
Talk to us a little bit about your relationship with Dave Palumbo. I mean, Dave Palumbo, in my personal opinion, is a really good guy. Really hardworking guy. He gets a lot of bash about his keto diet. People say he sends the same cookie cutter diet out to everyone. But in my experience, I have nothing but positive things to say about him. What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, I'll always love Dave. I crack on him a lot in my podcast just because I've had so many funny memories with him. And I do the Dave Palumbo voice whenever I speak about Dave. And he tells people I was like the son that he never had. And I always tell people you're a really bad dad then, Dave. But he and I had a lot of history together and, you know, he was my coach for a while and I worked for his company Species for 6 years. And I told him numerous times that I wanted to take over the sales. I can make this company way bigger if you let me. And he was like, no, you're a bodybuilder. You don't belong doing stuff like this. And then I wound up starting a company that was 20 times bigger than his, if you just listen to me. And I think Dave's downfall sometimes is his stubbornness. And he is a brilliant, brilliant guy, but he can be so stubborn that he doesn't want to learn new things sometimes. And right now there's a little something going on between him and one of my guys, Nick Trigilli. And Nick Trigilli has a product called Hydronics that I myself personally am using right now, and I think it's fantastic. And Dave is bashing the product when I know that Dave has not tried it. I'm sure he hasn't because he's too stubborn to try it. I also think that it's probably hurting the sales of some of the stuff that he sells. And because of that, he's been negative on it. And in the end, I think that it's going to wind up making him look bad because there's some big name guys that are behind this right now. I can't say their names, but you guys will have to figure out pretty soon who they are. One of them is a top five Olympia competitor. And the proof is in the pudding with something like that. And Dave's exact words to me when I was young, and I would tell him that a lot of his advice was contradicting itself. He would say, "You read your textbooks too much. I've done all this stuff myself. You know, sometimes in life, you got to get out on the field and play." And so in this situation, Dave is not taking the time to get out on the field and play. He's just being stubborn. And I think he's going to wind up being proven wrong in this particular debate, but he probably won't admit it anyway.
I think all of us as type A individuals are stubborn though. And we need a good aha moment of where we really hit rock bottom to make us realize, okay, that was stupid. I'm going to start listening to other people instead of just thinking I know everything.
Very true.
We have 10 minutes left. Is there any topics you want to cover, PJ?
Well, we have some cool stuff going on right now that we're trying to make more vertical moves with our company. So I want to be a lot more than just a supplement company. At this point, I kind of view Blackstone Labs almost as like an entertainment company. So we put out new video content every single day. I have a video team. I've got 3 videographers. I've got guys that roam across the country like Joe Reiser. I have in-house editors. We put out some sort of content literally every single day, whether it be lifestyle stuff, whether it be educational, whether it be silly. And I think that there's so much that goes into fitness and fitness-related things and supplement-related things besides just bodybuilding. You know, you've got the gun world, which we're dabbling into now. You've got all the other different sports. You've got things like CrossFit. You've got all these different spaces that nobody's really dominating them all. You know, there's usually a brand that's popular in CrossFit. This one's popular here. This is a mainstream one. And this is the bodybuilding one, but there's not really anybody that's doing it all. So I'm trying to keep branching out more. We've been putting a lot of focus into our apparel now, and our apparel has become all of a sudden like the cool stuff to wear. And all we have done is we've simply followed what's trending in mainstream fashion and just copied it. We just blatantly copied it. We did it with... So Supreme blew up this past year with the red box and the Supreme. We took the same font and the same box and we did supersets instead. And it looks like Supreme when you look at it. And so that shirt sold out in a matter of a couple hours. Like people thought it was such a cool idea. So much so that there's imposters now. There's, you can go on Amazon and find fakes of those head shirts. We also spoofed the Champion shirts. We took that font and made our own. With those, we've did the Miami colors, the Miami Vice shirts that we did. Those colors got real hot this year. Nike did a whole shoe based around that. The Miami Heat jerseys were the best selling jerseys in the United States. We did shirts like that. It's very, very cool to be involved in military stuff now. So we put out our Coyote Brown colors. Military can be behind the product. We're following what's trending hip with the apparel. And now we've got the ISO cream out. So I saw how well some of these ice creams were doing. I had no interest in doing this at all. And the guy that makes the ice cream, he actually got me into it when he said that Halo Top did $66 million in revenue last year. I'm like, what? That crappy, gross ice cream did that much money last year? And he took my isolation, my whey isolate, and he made it into an ice cream that had less calories than Halo Top, like almost double the protein, and tastes considerably better. And so we decided to push that product out. We debuted it at the Arnold. We went through 15 gallons of it, you know, sampling it out at the Arnold. It was a monstrous hit.
And how can you ship that though?
Got to ship on dry ice.
So I guess you're only doing U.S. domestic for that.
For now, there's logistically some headaches that have to be worked out, and that'll probably be what holds it back for now. But that'll be the one product that I try really hard to get through distribution. I've always been sort of anti-distribution. You know, we've made our name for ourselves direct to consumer, but you're very limited with people that want to order ice cream online. You know, it's more of an impulse buy than a let's go strategize online how many ice creams I'm going to order to be shipped to my house on dry ice.
Well, if you want to send me some tubs, I can mail them out in Canada.
I will see what he says about Canadian shipping. I'm not sure how that works. I know that we can ship anywhere in the United States in 2 days.
The problem with Canada is our population density. Like, it's a very, very big country and it's very spread out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're in like the greater Toronto area, if you're in like Victoria, you wouldn't really have an issue. But I mean, if you tried to hit like the prairies and the Maritimes, I don't think you'd be able to make it work.
Probably not. We've had stuff that got held up in customs in Canada for such long periods of time too.
All off air, I'll help you, because with Canadian customs, it's all about how you label it and things like that. Like, we have really, really weird customs here, and you want to get a natural product number. If you have a natural product number, it'll just fly right through.
Okay, good to know.
I'll help you off air off of that.
Thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about your YouTube channel. Like, I've noticed you guys have been doing a lot of stuff with your YouTube channel. Most of it actually has nothing to do with your products. Where are you getting all these ideas?
So we're kind of late to the party for YouTube, but it's one of those things where, you know, there's never a wrong time to start. So we were doing so much content on Facebook, and we had a great partnership with Facebook. We were spending at one point up to $70,000 a month advertising through Facebook, and being a part of business.facebook.com, working behind the scenes, we were targeting our audiences, and anybody that I wanted to see my content was going to see it. But Facebook changed their algorithm again, and the numbers started dropping a lot. We pulled money out and we stopped seeing the results that we used to see. So we still keep money in our ad campaigns through Facebook, but we started realizing that more and more people were using YouTube almost as a search engine, you know, the way that people used to use Google. And so we decided that we wanted to start putting more native specific YouTube content out. And like I said, we consider ourselves a entertainment brand. So I find now that I see the guys in my office, different age groups, different kinds of guys, spend a lot of time just watching YouTube and watching either how-to videos or they watch vloggers. And I never wanted to vlog. And I finally decided I was going to vlog the final week of this BPJ transformation challenge that I did. And those videos, in a matter of 24 hours, would get a few thousand views. And then by the end of the week, you know, they'd be up, you know, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 views. And we were getting all these people that never heard of Blackstone Labs. They're like, I love your vlog. I learned so much today. And I'm like, how do these people not know who we are at this point? How are we finding these brand new people just from these stupid vlogs? And one of my media guys has been wanting us to do YouTube vlogs forever. And I didn't want to do it. I'm like, no, we have really well done videos here that we're running almost like TV shows on Facebook. I'm not going to do vlogs. And sure enough, now I walk around 3 or 4 times a week with a stupid vlog camera vlogging, and it's opened up a whole new market for us, because now, you know, it all blows my mind, but I'm just rolling with the trends. It's like there is a star vlogger for everything now. There's the guy that the guys listen to for sneakers. There's the guy that they listen to for fashion. There's, you know, people drop names all the time of these famous vloggers. I don't know who any of them are, but these guys have millions of subscribers, and famous people go on their pages and things like that. So, I mean, there's something to be said in taking advantage of the YouTube, and that's why we're doing what we're doing now.
Do you watch any video bloggers yourself?
No.
Yeah, I know how popular it is, but for me, watching someone do other stuff, it almost feels like something someone without a life would do.
Yeah, I trust me, I feel the same way. And I don't even watch my own vlogs. Sometimes I'll watch my vlogs, and I will say I do laugh at myself, but I laugh because I think they're stupid. And so, but then people will tell me, oh, and at 17 minutes in your vlog, when you did whatever, that was really funny. And then I have to go back and look and see what I did. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of funny, I suppose. But that's entertainment, I guess, now.
PJ, we have about 5 minutes left. My last question for you is, talk to us about how Amazon has changed supplement sales. And then if you have any sort of special thank yous, supplement plugs, anything like that you want to do, please include them.
Well, I'm definitely not thanking Amazon because they've hurt all of us. But Amazon, at one point, Amazon was wrecking Blackstone Labs because all of these wholesalers were getting their hands on our products. When we used to run aggressive sales, Aaron used to do these like end of the month sales that he loved, and people would come in and they would take advantage of these big sales, whether they'd be like a buy one, get one free or 35% off. And then they would go and they would put the products up on Amazon. And realistically, a lot of them only had, let's say, 4 units, but they'd be violating the MAP products, the pricing so bad that our retailers would be like, how the hell am I supposed to sell this when you're selling it on Amazon for, you know, X amount of dollars? And I'd be like, how can anybody be selling it so cheap? And then you go on Amazon, and sure enough, there's somebody selling it cheaper than what I'm selling it to anybody for. And so we had a guy who full time was policing Amazon and trying to get these people taken down. Finally, we actually got banned from Amazon because of DMAA. So flashback to the beginning of this podcast. The DMAA was considered illegal by Amazon standards, and they booted us off because of that. And as soon as they booted us off, the next 3 days, we broke our site records for sales and never dropped down ever again. We saw it increase right away. That never went back down, because when people are on Amazon, there's you've got these guys that it's called controlling the buy box. And you've got these guys that will have numerous IP addresses, and they're working for whoever. I knew a guy that was the biggest BSN retailer in the world. He had his own little warehouse just filled with BSN products. And he started doing our products a little bit too. And I watched how he did it. And it's like amazing the science that these guys have it broken down to. Well, I think that Amazon started figuring all this out, and they started cleaning up their act a little bit. And now you have Amazon Fulfillment, which we may go that route. And Amazon Fulfillment is Amazon's going to take your products, set them at pricing, and sell them for you. And they almost become your distributor. And as long as they're not violating your MAP pricing agreement, it's not going to hurt anybody else, because no matter what, the Amazon consumer is a consumer that's not really aggressively shopping in one spot. You know, the Amazon consumer is buying a grill, some deodorant, maybe some shavers, and some cheap whey protein. And they want to do it all that day. And so if you're on there and you've got something that's marketing the right way on there, then there's a lot of potential for you. But I think that Amazon itself has wrecked all these mom and pop stores, all these brick and mortar stores, because it's become so impossible because of the hustle and bustle of today's life to compete with something that's so instant like that.
Just for our listeners, MAP pricing stands for minimum advertised price. So basically how it works is, if I'm a supplement store, PJ will sell me a supplement for $20, and he'll tell me the suggested retail price is $40. However, you can sell it for the minimum advertised price of $30 if you want to do a sale or a promotion or anything like that. What PJ is talking about is everyone's buying that supplement for $20, but someone might sell it for $25, which is less than the minimum advertised price. So then everyone else who's trying to sell it for the minimum advertised price basically can't sell it. And then it becomes it's a total war, and then no one's making any money because people are just selling it for the price that they're basically getting it. And that's the problem, is once you go online, is basically a lot of these online sites are just working on volume and only marking up products like a dollar or two.
One of the smartest things I've ever seen in this industry is First Form. You can only get First Form products through First Form. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it from any other online retailer. You can't get it in any other stores. They control where the product goes at all times, directly from their facility. So they don't have to run any kind of specials. They run the same prices no matter what, but they don't have to worry about any MAP price violations because it's all set at the same price from them. And they started out with that vision. These guys had a bunch of supplement stores. And because of that, and understanding like the headaches that supplement store owners deal with, they knew a way to protect their brand. That brand is a successful brand, but it works on a very, very good margin for profitability because they're controlling everything that way. Whereas for us, I'm constantly dealing with people violating MAP, and not eBay has become the new headache now because, you know, we're still on an Amazon. There are people that are finding our products and they're going extremely low on eBay. What a lot of these stores do is they'll match eBay or Amazon pricing. So if you have a store and I sold you my pre-workout for $20 and you're selling it for $30, but you'll match competitors' pricing. And somebody walks in with an eBay listing and they're like, listen, I can get this for $22 on eBay. If you've honored that, well, then you're going to sell the product to the guy for $22. Now you're only up $2. You got to pay your staff. You got to pay to keep the lights on in there. You've wrecked your profitability. And that's the biggest challenge in our industry at all times.
But where are they getting the product, PJ, for on Amazon and eBay? Where are they getting it from?
Well, what we think they're doing is because most of these sellers don't have to list their inventory. What we think happens is for them, a lot of it is just some sort of rush, some sales rush. And let's say that somebody maybe accumulated a few discount products over X amount of time. And they're like, you know what? I want to make a quick $50. I'm going to list these products really cheap on Amazon. I'm going to blow them out real fast. And, you know, maybe they have four products and they blow out pretty fast. And that's it. It's not like they have hundreds and thousands of these products. They don't. But having those numbers out there, people find the numbers, then they show them to other people, and it starts this whirlwind effect of, well, if this guy's getting it for this cheap, how do I know that somebody else isn't? You guys aren't screwing me over. And it's a vicious cycle that supplement companies deal with all the time.
Okay. So we have one more minute, and we have a new kind of feature. It's kind of a fun little thing where I'm going to give you a name, PJ, and you're going to comment. You can do a one-word answer, you can do a two-word answer, or two-sentence answer. So the first one I'm going to give you is Rich Piana.
Sad.
Boston Lloyd.
It's also sad.
Mark Lobliner.
I don't have a problem with Mark. He's doing all right.
Jerry Ward.
They're all, a lot of these guys are sad to me. Give me some good stuff.
Madonna.
Who?
Madonna.
I love Madonna.
Can't. Dude, Madonna for her age is still hot. Like, amazing, let's be real.
Amazing. I was in the gym the other day. She has a new video out. And it's like, obviously they use, you know, great special effects and everything else, but she looks younger now, it seems.
I think she's close to 50.
She's got to be 50 for sure.
I'd still hit it.
I would absolutely hit it. No, I'd be proud. I'd let everyone know.
So who's the hottest celebrity then? That's the last one I'll ask you. Who's the hottest?
A lot of people hate when I say this, but I love Kim Kardashian. I do. And people are like, how could you like her? You're a fitness guy. I mean, I like a big meaty ass. I think that she's beautiful. I think that she's, you know, thick in all the right spots. I like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of fit girls that I think are beautiful too, but I love Kim Kardashian.
PJ, you know who I love, who's kind of embarrassing to say? Rachel Ray. I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is.
It's the cooking. It's just the way to your heart.
She would take such good care of you.
She would.
Okay, this is another, this is an awesome episode, PJ. Do you have any thank yous you want to say?
Yeah, well, for starters, I want to thank, of course, all of our customers and our fans. We have such a almost like cult-like following, and it's so cool. We have a little army behind us. We started what's called our Blacks and Lambs Legion. And the Legion is our spin on an ambassador program, and we've got over 700 people in the Legion now. So I'm going to get to do a reality show with Generation Iron. So Generation Iron are the guys that have done the documentaries on Kai Greene and whatnot, C.T. Fletcher. They're coming down here to film me in Blacks and Labs. It's going to be called Muscle Mogul. And they love the fact that I'm a lot younger than most of the CEOs in the industry. I'm very outspoken, but I still walk the walk as far as a bodybuilder goes. So I was feeling like those guys kind of faded in their excitement for the show. So I wanted to make sure they knew what they were getting themselves into. So we put out an email to our Legion last night, and we gave them a graphic. It was myself playing the piano, and it had the Generation Iron logo on it. And we instructed them to all post saying, can't wait for Generation Iron to start filming Blackstone Labs and PJ Braun. And they were all instructed to, in their time zones, post at 8 o'clock. So you've got the East Coast all the way out to West Coast time zone. So you were going to get a fleet of this post going out, making sure that they tag Generation Iron. So I group texted a couple of the guys, the guy that runs the company and one of the guys in marketing. I said, I don't know if either of you run your social media, but I apologize for what's going to happen tonight. And a little bit of time went by, and you could see they actually reposted one. I'm going to probably make a little post in a little while of all the people that posted, but it was something like well over 200 people posted this graphic last night. And so it was just spamming them aggressively all over the place. But I wanted to show them how much power and how much influence we have in this community, because I think it's something that when they do put the actual reality series out, it'll inspire a lot of people to get involved in what we're doing a little bit more, rather than just going to the gym for just bodybuilding per se. So thank you to my Legion, of course. Thank you to Generation Iron for the series they're going to do. Thank you to my staff. Huge thank you. And a shout out to my dad. It was his birthday yesterday. My dad came down here 2 years into the business. I had him take over my shipping department because shipping was a mess. And he came from a logistics background, cleaned up the whole department, had everything running real smooth. Eventually started having issues with my sales guys. No sales background at all, took over the sales department. And now he's essentially my partner. I refer to him as my partner. He's the one guy that I can trust no matter what. Also, my vice president is my best friend. I apologize, my dogs are going crazy for some reason, but we have a really good team of hard workers around us, very family style business. Stop! And we're very happy to be doing what we are doing. I don't know, we got August 18th coming up. It's a big day for us for DNA.
Yeah, dollar.
My cat's over here going crazy right now.
Stop, please.
Okay, this is a cutie to finish off the show. PJ, we appreciate you coming on. All our listeners will be crossing our fingers and sending good vibes your way for that August 18th court date. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for our special guest, PJ Braun, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.